What's up, everyone? It's your boy Jerome Parker, aka Master Shake. And on today's episode of the Coat Life Podcast, we are going to talk about how the new slave class is upon us and how it is spurred on by the gig economy. So I've been reading some articles as of late, talking about what's going on with Uber and Lyft and DoorDash and all of them, basically trying to force legislation to keep their contractors as contractors. So for those of you who aren't familiar with what's going on with tech companies in the gig economy right now, first let me go ahead and start what the gig economy is. All right. The gig economy is the concept, it's this economy that is the exchange of labor for money between individuals or companies via digital platforms that actively facilitate matching between providers and customers on a short-term and payment-by-task basis. Okay? And that's according to the UK government. So, in layman's terms, it's apps like Uber, it's apps like Lyft, TaskRabbit, where anybody can sign up and perform a task and get paid. So, with Uber, you can sign up to be a driver, and you get paid for giving people rides, right? DoorDash, you sign up to deliver food, you get paid to deliver food on a task-by-task basis. And what has happened is that these tech companies have gotten really greedy, okay, in terms of the profit margins. So let's take Uber, for example. Okay. To sign up to be an Uber driver, you're an independent contractor, 1099. You know, I don't have any inherent problem with that, right? I prefer to be a freelancer. But because you are a contractor, that means Uber is not responsible for the maintenance of your car, right? So Uber gets the value of your car to make money for them. They pay you, you know, however much per ride. But if your car breaks down, if you need an oil change, your gas, new tires, wear and tear, that's on you. And yeah, if you know there's different ways to mitigate that, you know, taxes and write-offs and whatnot, but the fact of the matter is that the average person doesn't understand or know how to maximize on all of that. So what you're left with is basically the money that you're making from being an Uber driver after you deduct your living expenses, after you deduct the wear and tear and maintenance on your car, you're not making anything. You're pretty much nilling out. That's why when you see people who are full-time Uber drivers, they're usually not just full-time Uber drivers. They do other gigs. They do Uber. They do DoorDash. They do Lyft. They do, you know, that it's not just one. Same thing with, and even that even goes for things like Airbnb. Although, and I'll get to this later, there's a classist distinction between platform apps like Airbnb and platform apps like DoorDash. Just because the barrier to entry to even be on Airbnb is much higher. Most people don't own homes. But, you know, even with Airbnb, though, Airbnb gets the value of your house without having to pay for the maintenance and upkeep of said house. Biggest hospitality service that owns no real estate. Uber is the biggest taxi service that owns no cars. It's, and, you know, there's great value in having platform apps like this, you know, stuff that allows people to work on their own terms. The gig economy is not evil. my app Moby Snacks is a gig economy app. What makes these things evil is when the companies get greedy and they capitalize to the extent where it's hurting the very people that they depend on to make money. So let's go back to Massachusetts right now. What's going on? So here's this article from the Boston Globe. Okay. And it says, with ballot question, tech companies could put the future of the gig economy in voters' hands. A coalition of tech giants is officially setting its sights on Massachusetts as the latest battleground in the fight over the status of gig economy workers. They plan to file on Wednesday a ballot question that would allow them to continue classifying Lyft, Uber, Instacart, and DoorDash drivers and deliverers as independent contractors, not employees, while granting the workers some new benefits. Powerful organized labor groups, who, along with the lawsuit from Attorney General Maura Haley, argue these workers must be treated as employees under state law, say they will ferociously oppose the effort, setting the stage for a lengthy, expensive, and nationally watched fight over workers' rights and the future of the gig economy. The measure makes Massachusetts the next front for the high-octane dispute that recently dominated the airwaves in California, where Proposition 22 became the most expensive ballot measure in state history. Industry giants working under the banner of the Massachusetts Coalition for Independent Work are pitching the new ballot question that, if approved by voters, would label Uber drivers, DoorDash and Postmates delivery people, Instacart shoppers, and other app-based workers as independent contractors while granting them new benefits, including health care stipends, paid sick time, paid family and medical leave, and occupational accident insurance. When they are engaged in rides and deliveries, but not while they are waiting for pickups, drivers would be guaranteed to make at least 120% of the state minimum wage, a total of $18 an hour in 2023, when the measure would go into effect. They would also receive 26 cents per mile toward vehicle expenses. A lot of the laws are not written according to modern times when it comes to employees, says James Hill, a spokesman for the industry coalition. The companies are leading this and supporting this because it gives their drivers the flexibility and the opportunity to earn as they are able. Labor advocates united behind the new and similarly named coalition to protect workers' rights said app-based workers should not have to choose between flexible schedules and the labor rights and benefits guaranteed under state law. A 2004 Massachusetts law makes clear, they say, that workers are to be classified as employees if they are being directed by the company that hires them, are working within the normal scope of the business, and are doing a job that is not part of an independently established occupation. And they said the benefits proposed in the ballot measure fall short of what employees are guaranteed and other industry standards. The IRS reimbursement standard, for example, is 56 cents per mile, more than twice the 26 cents proposed in the ballot measure. Drivers, because they are labeled independent contractors, can already use the 56 cents per mile standard for calculating their tax deductions. And paying app-based workers only for engaged time, not while they are waiting for or between trips, is an overly strict standard that will prevent workers from accessing benefits, opponent said. Now, I'm going to pause because that right there was probably the most important part of this article. This is actually a really lengthy article, and I don't think I'm going to read it. I will put links to it in the show notes. But let me go back. It says the IRS reimbursement standard, for example, is 56 cents per mile, more than twice the 26 cents proposed in the ballot measure. Drivers, because they are labeled independent contractors, can already use the 56 cent per mile standard for calculating their tax deductions. And paying app-based workers only for quote-unquote engaged time, not while they are waiting for or between trips, is an overly strict standard that will prevent workers from accessing benefits. Now, listen, that is the snake in the grass. That is what they are going for, and they're trying to wrap it up as if they give a damn about your ass. Newsflash, they don't. So, they're talking about giving, keeping them labeled as contractors while still giving them access to benefits. Now, I've seen this model before. I actually had this model when I first moved out to California with the company I worked for. I was a contractor, but I still had benefits. Here's the thing. You only get those benefits if you have a certain amount of hours, okay? There's going to be all sorts of stipulations to even qualify to get this insurance. There's going to be so many stipulations if this passes that nobody in practice, almost no one will qualify for it. But they'll be able to say that they offer it. So the people who desperately need these benefits, what are they going to do? They're going to try to make sure they have as much quote unquote engaged time as possible so that they can get their benefits. You know how long they're going to be? They're going to be grinding like a mofo. This is the new slave economy. Okay. I can't. Don't. Oh man, you can't trust these companies. And they're trying to make this law because they said, man, we tired of fighting with y'all. So we're just gonna lobby because we got billions. We're just gonna lobby. We're gonna get people write these proposals and ballot measures for us, and we're gonna let you decide. We're going to let you decide with this information that we gave you, that we carefully constructed to make sound nice and make it sound like we're for the people and we're woke. Bullshit, bruh. And I'm saying this as a startup founder. I'm trying to be the exception to the rule. So I'm going to call them out. I can see it. It's really disgusting that... Unfortunately, they're probably going to get away with this, which will set the precedent, set the stage for the gig economy to be in place here forever. I mean, it was never really going anywhere because, in my opinion, the gig economy, part of what drives the gig economy is people's fucked up desire to want people to like serve them. People like pay extra for DoorDash. I mean, yeah, they don't feel like going out, but like people get something out of somebody bringing them their food. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's really disgusting. They like treat them like they talk about them like they're their slaves, like they're servants or some shit. And people and these companies know that, and they prey on that psychological aspect. But we're gonna take a brief sponsor commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about this some more. Thank you all for tuning in thus far. Sometimes you just want a gourmet meal. Sometimes you just want a home-cooked meal. You don't want fast food, and you don't want the same thing over and over. sometimes you want to cook, but you have no idea what to make. And this is where my app and latest startup, Mobi Snacks, comes into play. Mobi Snacks is a mobile app that connects you with local chefs in your neighborhood, so you can get gourmet, local cooked meals. Anyone can sign up to be a delivery driver, and anyone who's eligible can sign up to be a chef. And what's more is that there is Mobi Snacks TV, a service with live stream and pre-recorded cooking shows made by content creators who also are chefs just like you. If you want to get started, head over to mobisnacks.com and click the link on iOS or Android to take you to the respective app store. Once again, that is Mobi Snacks, MobiSnacks. If you enjoy this podcast, consider becoming a patron on Patreon at patreon.com/masterchef08. By becoming a patron, not only are you supporting the brand, but you're also funding the Code Life Initiative, which is a program where my company, Jake Pierce Solutions, teaches kids for free how to code in inner cities. We're trying to expand this program across the 50 states, and we are trying to do this self-funded so we can do it in the direction that we best see fit. So please consider becoming a patron. The levels start at $1. Patreon.com/MasterShake08. Tired of doing technical interviews and rounds of them? TripleByte is a platform that allows you to take one technical interview and have companies such as Apple, Microsoft, and Facebook bid on you for a job. Click on the link in the show notes to get started for free. It is always free, and offers will come to you in your mailbox. Click to get started. All right, everyone, we are back, and we're back here with the article from the Boston Globe. And I'm just going to talk a little bit more about what Uber and Lyft and all these companies are really trying to do with this political move. Corporations have figured out that they're just as powerful, if not more powerful, than a lot of these local municipalities and some state governments. So I'm back on this article, and I'm gonna read this section. Beth Griffin, an Uber driver and a spokeswoman for the Labor Coalition, called the ballot language, quote, a Trojan horse and, quote, a false choice that takes basic rights and benefits away from workers while falsely pretending to offer new ones. The ballot language from Uber and Lyft is a $100 million ploy to avoid paying taxes, avoid paying workers fairly, and allow big tech companies to buy their way out of basic benefits and protections for workers in every other business, Griffin said. Drivers and delivery workers, most of us Black, Brown, and immigrants, are tired of being treated like, quote, second-class workers by these multi-billion dollar tech companies. This ballot language hurts customers, drivers, taxpayers, all to enrich Silicon Valley executives. Well, Beth, you had it almost correctly, but you're not second-class citizens. They're literally treating you like slaves. Just because you're getting paid money does not mean you're still not a slave. If they make you become so dependent upon you, and they give you the illusion of freedom, you get to make your own schedule. But you really can't make your own schedule. You gotta grind. And they pay you just enough where you keep coming back. Because, you know, you don't have time. Once you're in the race, rat race, you don't have time to go out and get another job. And honestly, the idea of the gig economy, like I said, is a good thing. So, you know, you shouldn't have to sacrifice your schedule for, you know, a livable wage. I mean, But yes, Uber, Lyft, all these multi-billion dollar tech companies, they know that the demographic of people who power the engine to make their companies billion-dollar companies are Black people. Black, brown, and immigrants. But mostly Black. I'm a Black man, so I'm going to hold down for my people. It's mostly Black. Entry-level jobs, gig worker jobs, like, it is tech racism. It is elitism. It's toxic capitalism. It's racism. Listen, you don't owe these companies anything. I think that there was a strike. I think it was the other day. Protesting that they basically get paid fair wages during Corona. You know, these gig economy workers had a safety net, and that was the pandemic unemployment insurance, PUA. So, in this article from Fortune.com, it took a pandemic for America's army of gig workers to win access to some of the social protections that regular employees enjoy. Now they're about to lose it again. Even before COVID-19 hit, the independent contractor model for workers was spreading, with companies turning it into a way to lower costs. The health crisis accelerated that trend and spurred policymakers to offer financial support for freelancers when much of the economy was shuttered. The Pandemic Unemployment Assistance was the first federal-level program geared towards so-called independent workers. It is now being wound down, leaving the Biden administration struggling to figure out how to make life less precarious for a rapidly growing share of the workforce. For Ruby Jones, a 33-year-old freelance hairstylist, the PUA was a breath of fresh air. In the absence of any safety net, her strategy often was to work long hours. When expecting her daughter, Jones cut hair until she was 8.5 months pregnant, and she was back on the job 4 weeks after giving birth. When the pandemic hit, that route was closed. My work 1,000% shut down, she said. From March 13th up until June, when reopenings happened in New York City, I didn't touch hair except my own. Instead, she enrolled in the PUA, like more than 15 million Americans did last summer. There was still about 5.3 million participants in the program as of July 9th, with an average of about 100,000 new claims have been filed each week since then. But at least half of U.S. states have already ended pandemic unemployment benefits, and more are set to follow before the September 6th deadline set by Congress. Some 59 million Americans freelanced in 2020, and the number is poised to increase. A new study by recruitment firm Upwork, I use them a lot, found that 1/5 of professionals, equivalent to 10 million people, would consider going freelance, mainly to preserve work-from-home flexibility. About 90% of businesses expect to increase their reliance on non-payroll workers within the next year, according to a June survey by contractor management company Stoke. This means risk is shifting from businesses to individuals, said economist Laura Sherbin, senior vice president at Seramount, a consulting firm focused on workplace diversity. With less job security, what workers really need is a stronger social safety net. So, and I've said this before, I believe that UBI should be a thing. I believe that everyone should get a certain amount of money. That doesn't mean that people are not going to still work, right? But like, for example, rent should at least, no one should have to worry about rent. You feel me? So like, if we had UBI with the gig economy, which basically that's what PUA was. It was basically, free money for everybody. And I don't fault anybody who took that money. As much money as the United States holds in its coffers. Get out of here. But without some social safety net, these companies know that they can grind these people to dirt while they make billions. Billions. Think about that. Like, you know, I just said, like, I think, like, they should, if every fuck, if every contractor knew that they were getting, like, monthly bonuses or something, like, you know, even if you did that, okay, what do y'all pay? Y'all pay them, like, $3.50 for each delivery or whatever, right? But if you know that, you know, if you did at least two deliveries a day, you know, something reasonable, that you're gonna get a $500, you know, monthly bonus. Like, just little incentives like that would, would do more. But y'all literally mathematically made models to pay them as little as possible to keep them reliant on you while still giving them a pseudo sense of satisfaction and freedom and illusion of choice. Y'all are sick. Y'all are straight sick. But unfortunately, if this passes, which it probably will pass, and other states follow, we are basically in a new servant slave economy. We just call it gigs. Those of you listening right now, I want you to think of how many of your friends or colleagues work in the gig economy. And then I want you to think how many of your friends or colleagues work in the gig economy full time versus the ones that work part time. And the ones that work full time, do they seem like they're always stressed? They seem like they're always on the go. I've had friends who, you know, they always talk in terms of, you know, hey, I'm on my apps today until at least to make $100 today. Like, they talk like you ask them, they're like, hey, I'm working. I'll be forgetting that they're like Uber drivers and stuff. But hey, I'm working. I'm like, oh, okay. What time you get off? Just whenever I make $100 for the day. Yeah, I probably got like five, six more rides. Okay. Like, there, it's literally is it's they psychologically train you to just think in terms of how I can make the machine go so I can, you know, get the crumbs. Anyway, do y'all think I'm right? Do y'all think I'm wrong? Do you feel like the gig economy is a new slave economy? Do you feel like I'm exaggerating? Let me know. Leave a voice note. You can leave a voice link. I love to hear from my listeners. Shout out to my new patrons. I really appreciate that. I don't have the list of everyone's names in front of me, but starting on next episode, I will start giving shout outs to my new patrons. Really appreciate the love. Well, everyone, it's Jerome Parker, aka Master Shake, and I am signing off. I will talk to you all later. Have a nice day. Code life.